Welcome back to the Multidimensional Journey YouTube channel and the podcast. This is your host, Ayahuasca Carr, and thank you so much for returning back. So today we're going to be talking about a lot of different things. So, have you ever heard the word or the phrase like getting in touch with my higher self, getting to the frequency of my higher self? What does the higher self even mean, right? So today we're going to talk a little bit about what exactly that is, not just like on a woo-woo level, but on a science level, on a parts work level. We'll be talking about like the nervous system a little bit, parts work, all the things, right? And so I really feel like this practice, whether or not you're working with psychedelics or plant medicines, which is what we talk a lot about here on the podcast and the YouTube channel, is like preparing and integrating specifically for ayahuasca. I did my background with some leaves, the chacruna leaves. I actually don't know if those are actually chacruna, but you get the point. So either when we're preparing for or integrating for psychedelic plant medicine or any other non-ordinary state of consciousness, we're all coming to these practices for different reasons, right? We're all being called to these practices for different reasons, whether it's to heal past memories from our family of origin, whether it's to heal trauma, whether it's to heal addictive patterns, people pleasing, perfectionism, all these different things. We're wanting to get in touch with our higher self. Who are we? Who am I really? What am I here to do? Right? All these different questions. And we have all these amazing tools to really help us. And I have found that kind of what we're going to be going over today, parts work, nervous system, these are essential. Whether or not you're doing non-ordinary state of consciousness work, I feel like the tools that we're going to go over, which have been heavily influenced by so many other people other than me. I'm not the one who created these. I'm just a person just like you who was looking to heal herself, himself, however you refer to yourself, and wanting to get in touch with my most authentic version. So let's talk a little bit though, since most of you are here to talk about psychedelics and plant medicines. It's really helpful because these tools assist us in navigating our consciousness landscape prior, during, and after. I would humbly argue, or maybe I wouldn't argue, maybe I would just humbly suggest, let's say that these tools are essential. We'll be talking about like mindfulness, navigating the nervous system, knowing different aspects of ourselves, or at least having some awareness, right? Some awareness before we jump into a more advanced landscape, meaning more unpredictable potentially, like psychedelics or plant medicines. Now, of course, everyone's scenario is different. Some of us do these experiences solo. Some of us are going to retreat centers. Some of us are sitting with therapists. Some of us are sitting with coaches. So, we can't be like so specific here because everyone is so general. But feel free to post your questions below if you have any questions. Just, basically what I'm saying is like, the factors of setting and dosage, right, are always at play to create this container in which I'm entering, you're entering to get the most out of these experiences. So, I'm going to share my screen really quick because I'm going to share some things with you that are exciting. So, first, we're going to go over this guy right here. So, it's essentially the eight C's. Oops, that's the wrong one. Let's see. Hold on one second. Yep, the eight C's of self-leadership wheel. So, this is from the incredible Dr. Richard Schwartz, the creator of internal family systems. So, just an amazing person, right? And if you research some of his work, he really was a visionary in really slowing down and getting to know people on a much deeper level. Really was the pioneer, or at least one of them, and being like, okay, I hear this part talking, and I'm wondering if we can, just get to know them a little bit more. Instead of pathologizing or criticizing these beautiful protector parts, right? So oftentimes when we see parts of us that have addictive patterns, maybe we have codependent patterns, fawning, basically survival traits that helped us protect ourselves and survive in the past. And they just haven't had a chance to fully integrate into the system in a new way. Now, that could be said in a bunch of other ways. Like, you don't have to relate to that particular scenario because, it's like I can't speak to all of them. But it's essentially looking at these different parts of ourselves with a deep sense of compassion. And this would also go in alignment with practice that's called compassionate inquiry. In fact, mindfulness practices like are very related to everything that we're looking at here. I'm going on a little bit of a tangent here before we get into this. There's a couple other things I wanted to say, but essentially, I think it's good to keep in mind that parts work, which is what we know right now, that's being heavily used. If you look online, a lot of psychedelic centers, a lot of psychedelic and plant medicine retreat centers, coaches, therapists, facilitators, all of these, they're employing the internal family systems model because we, you know, if there's any other place that you or me deeply explore what we refer to as the shadow or the light, it is in this work because we, you know, psychedelics and plant medicines, they tend to allow those barriers of protection to fade away temporarily, sometimes even doing a full renegotiation in the session, meaning we are able to shift the parts. And, you know, if there was a part that was embedded in the system because of a traumatic event and we're able to rehearse and resolve the event in the expanded state, we could come out of it with almost like a whole different part, right? A little more complicated. Maybe we can't go into all that. But yeah, I'm just kind of trying to paint a picture. Like, if there's any other place that this work comes deeply alive, whew, I really believe it comes alive in the psychedelic and plant medicine space because we just go so deep within ourselves, right? Through images, through emotions, through sensations, through the music we're listening to, through, right? That magical trifecta, setting in doshas, just creating this expanded state for us. So, before I go on any more tangents, let's get to what's on the screen here. So, the eight C's of self-leadership. So, this is, you know, you can call it your higher self. You can call it your most wise self. You can call it your most healthy inner parent. I believe when I practice with people and practice with myself, it's really up to you and your own inner guiding intelligence as to what you want to call this part. Okay. But these are the elements and some of the pieces of the pie, so to speak, of what we are feeling, sensing, and perceiving when we're in a higher self state, when we're in a self leadership state. This is what Richard Schwartz calls it. But as you can see, it's the eight C's. So when we have create, when we feel creative, when we feel calm, when we feel connected, when we can sense a sense of clarity in our mind and our nervous system, which we'll get to that in a second, when we feel compassion, right? When we feel courageous, when we feel confident. So these are a lot of different emotional states, sensation states, right? And so these are all really wonderful guideposts in our own perceptual, internal, and external experience of kind of like, am I in my most wisest self right now? You know, or am I in a protector part? Or am I activated? Or am I frozen? Or am I disconnected, right? I feel like a lot of, like I'm a kind of like a language person. I feel like some of the people who are saying like frequency and raise your vibration, right? This is that these all fall into that category too, because every emotion does have an emotional vibration. It's like it is measurable, right? And so when they say raise your vibration, so I like to kind of take these like, because you know, when I hear that, no judgment by the way, but I feel like that's kind of like what I call high pie in the sky. Well, but like, how do I raise my vibration? Well, let me show you, okay? Because this is I think for me, this was the breakthrough. This, you know, to take all the things we know about quantum physics and do what I call embody the experience. So just keep in mind, like, keep this picture in mind, and I'm just going to show you something here really quick. So this other picture that I have for us is right here. Bam. So this is a picture of our autonomic nervous system. Is glorious, isn't it? I think we should just take a gander, right? And this is a very important picture. It's so important for plant medicine, psychedelic preparation and integration during the journey. And just all those aside, just being a human being who has a nervous system, right? Our nervous system, our autonomic nervous system, it does have a mind of its own. It certainly does. And when we can befriend it and understand it and like, I would encourage you to get kind of nerd out on it, because it is you, it's a part of you, and it is controlling a lot. Well, I don't want to say controlling. It is running in the background on a lot of things, but the more we can understand it, the more we can kind of integrate, you know? So why is this important? I'm like blabbering here. So I do want to bring your attention to this green zone. Oh, green zone, amazing. So notice in the green zone, which is our most regulated part of our nervous system. This is our parasympathetic nervous system. So this is simple as, you know, when we notice like just simple joys. It doesn't have to be big, you know, just noticing the support of a chair underneath us, or something really yummy we taste, or when someone really sees and hears us, and even if it's just for a moment. And sometimes this part is hard because like sometimes we let these moments slip away, rather than taking time to really sense and feel them. But notice how the words calm, connected, grounded, curious, compassion, mindful, in the moment, ding 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 ding. Is it kind of ringing any bells for you from the picture we just saw? And maybe I can do a side by side here. La 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 la. So it is no mistake that the higher self parts, right, they live in a particular somatic state, if this is making sense. So our higher self, our most wisest self, oftentimes is found in our parasympathetic nervous system. So this is where I feel like mind and body really connect. So we have the language of the parts work, and then the felt sense is in the nervous system when we can feel calm, grounded, open, curious, centered, all of these things, right? So this is kind of like a house, the somatic house of our higher self, of our most wisest self. And usually when myself, when I'm receiving coaching or therapy from somebody, or I'm working with someone one-on-one, we really take the time to notice like, oh, what are you noticing in your system right now? Especially when I can like see or hear, there is a moment of pleasure coming through. There is a moment of joy to really feel it and allow it to fully register into the nervous system. One of my favorite things to do, is working with myself and also my students, to help them remember, recall, and reactivate the, I'm like, I'm lost for words, like the one with the one with the one experiences, the unity consciousness. Even as I say it, I can feel different parts of my nervous system lighting up. I almost feel my chest expand a little bit more. But, it's really important because, we talk a lot about in here that afterglow phase, and then we start to feel like we forget. But the memory isn't lost on us. It just needs to be called and felt again. And you would be blown away how it just infiltrates the central nervous system and how you make contact once again with that higher self. And by the way, it doesn't have to be plant medicine or psychedelic experiences. It could be any non-ordinary state of consciousness, or it can be an ordinary state of consciousness. We all have the availability to access this part of ourselves through many, many different ways, which we won't be able to cover every way in this video. So, moving up, exploring the rest of ourselves, since that is not the only place that we live in. And I think this is important. I will share a short story here. In 2018, I had an experience in an ayahuasca ceremony, and I was deep in the medicine. And in my experience, what I was experiencing, that ayahuasca was talking to me, and all these images of all these different parts of myself were coming forward. In fact, there was 28 parts inside, and I was getting overwhelmed. I was like going into the fight or flight in this picture. I was like, "What?" And I was like kind of getting mad. I was like, "What are you talking about? There's 28 parts of me." Like I thought that was like a little scary, and I like was like kind of like, "What do you want me to do with all of this?" I was saying this internally as I was on my hands and my knees, and I was just leaning forward. And I heard a whisper from her as I was like kind of freaking out a little bit, and she says, "You accept and you love all the parts." And I, of course, I like collapsed, and I just started bawling my eyes off, because that is a part of the integration process, is that every day we're learning to love and accept and have compassion for all the parts within, parts of us that no one has ever showed us compassion for or love, But that was a very corrective experience for me. Corrective experience meaning, obviously, I was struggling with that. I was like, "What? That's wild." And to have that, just that deep insight right in that moment, I'm like, "Ah, of course, of course." I want to love and accept them all, so I can embrace all parts of me, the shadow and the light, not just my higher self. And I really feel like, when I am doing pure IFS with somebody, or pure parts work, I mean, I say internal family systems. I'm not formally trained in it, but I've had my own parts work experience. And we are getting, the first thing we always do is get really heavily acquainted with the self-leading part, or the higher self, or the healthy inner parent, however the person wants to integrate it, before we start working with more like other parts. Like the inner critic is a really popular one, as maybe you've guessed that, maybe you haven't. and other vulnerable parts, like really young parts or the protector parts, or well, we don't have too much time to go into all of this, but I think this is important that, you know, parts work is really magical because that's where we can see where what Richard Schwartz calls where we're blended, where like certain parts of us are coupled together, which can also happen in the nervous system, overcoupling and undercoupling. These are concepts that are maybe a little too much for this video. But when we slow it down, we really start to see like, oh, I'm actually not this inner critic. My higher self is separate from it. And now I can get into a relationship with it. Now I can lean in and get curious and compassionate and mindful and be like, oh, tell me why you're here. I'm so curious, like, you know, what's your role here? You know, what can I do for you? How can I help you feel safer? And that's how renegotiation happens on a parts level, but also a somatic level. So moving on to our beautiful autonomic nervous system. So of course there's fight or flight. And fight or flight, so let's first start with fight. Fight is, I used to be really scared of fight. I used to be really scared of my anger. But once you tap into some sacred anger, which is really your boundaries, right? It's pretty fun. but notice how on the photo here, and I don't know if my pointer can be seen, but notice how it says I can. I can. So frustration, irritation, anger, rage. Sometimes there can be an overcoupling or an undercoupling with anger, rage, like this isn't okay, this isn't safe, I'm not allowed to do this. But once we uncouple and fully feel, oh, I'm totally allowed to feel angry, and we give that space to move through the nervous system and we identify the part it's coming from. Maybe it's a more vulnerable part that was taken advantage of, or someone crossed boundaries, or maybe we even betrayed ourselves. So many different scenarios. We can't go into all of them, but you know, feeling that through the nervous system. Or, you know, so fight oftentimes is moving towards, literally moving towards. And then flight, we want to, our nervous system wants to get the heck out of there. Wants, it's like panic, fear, worry, anxiety, concern. And I've shared with you guys what happened to me in Peru about 3 years ago during my high dose experience where I felt so disoriented and the room was like way too loud. My nervous system wanted to run out of there, which I didn't. So I did end up going into freeze, which we'll get to here in a second. But, you know, so different parts of us that they might be managing, they might be protecting, where we move away. That part of us is trying to protect of us and moves away. The thing that's coming through right now is like sometimes we'll see this in well, I mean, we'll see all of this in relationship. Let's be really real. But sometimes when people say like, oh, you know, they tend to be avoidant. I think sometimes avoidant attachment systems, which I'm not an expert by any means, so I don't want to like, you know, go down that rabbit hole. But just as an example, avoidant attachment systems, it's often a protective mechanism. You know, the autonomic nervous system is built in such a way. They also call it the subconscious mind, which I feel like sometimes like I wish we would just say like the autonomic nervous system, because really that is just somatically such a driving force. Rather than when we say subconscious mind, I feel like oftentimes we're like we feel like it's all in our head, when it's really a full body. It's a full body experience. The nervous system is like in the whole thing from head to toe. So it's like, you know, maybe that person feels really vulnerable unconsciously, you know, but the nervous system knows that it's reading a threat. So it's like, I gotta get out of here. And sometimes that's, this is not always protector part. Sometimes it's like, no, I know how to mobilize my system to either set a boundary or get out of a situation that I'm saying my intuition's telling me, even my higher self is telling me, no. Okay. And last but not least, okay, is our it's our freeze system. Now, keep in mind that it's not like one area, another area, then another area. It's like, you know, each color could have like a 1 through 10, if not more, kind of range. So each, all of it has full range, and all of us have different capacities, if that makes sense. So then, of course, there's freeze. And freeze is a very interesting place, right? Because it's very survival, it's very animalistic. Parts of our fight or flight and our social engagement system actually go completely offline when we're in a frozen state. And this is oftentimes where we literally, when we feel depressed or collapsed in our nervous system, this is where depression comes from the frozen state, feeling helpless, feeling hopeless, feeling trapped. feeling dissociated, feeling numb. This is because the nervous system is signaling to the body that all that we have capacity for is a very few things, so we're going to shut everything else down. And so notice how it says once we reach that frozen state, it says, I can't, I cannot. And so really simply, really quick here, everyone's scenario is different, but I think it's a good thing to kind of keep in mind is that when we are frozen, first of all, we need to be aware that we feel frozen. And it's like you feel collapsed, you just feel like not everything's online. You might feel foggy, you might feel disconnected. So the opposite of what we were talking about earlier, right? And it this to integrate in all this stuff, it's an art. This stuff is I did not this to learn all of this and to embody it, and I'm still embodying it every day, thank you, humbly. It takes time. So I think I would also like to point that out. But what was I gonna say? Oh, so when we're frozen, we need to thaw out. We need to melt back into mobilization. And so it really starts. So how see how it says conservation of energy, right? Because the nervous system is in a particular state, which is affecting our entire perception, internal, external. And so we need to literally allow ourselves to thaw out. So when we are aware that we are frozen, it's good to allow ourselves to thaw out. So that means to not, I used to always override when I was in freeze, meaning like just push through it, hope it would go away. Anyone can relate to that, please post in the chat. And I really think that comes from so many different things. But at minimum, Western culture teaches that we've been dissociated from our senses, feelings, emotions for a long time. So, but now I know that I can feel the signals of frozen, and that I'll oftentimes just take a break. I'll lay down and just feel myself, like just allow the body to thaw. And I really like to simple, something simple, because I do much complicated actions in the frozen state. It's asking way too much, right? You feel your nervous system feels threatened to the point where it is shutting down. So, to bring back the parts work into it, right? So different parts of us can live in freeze. Different parts of us can live in fight or flight. More often than not, our higher self is going to be in this parasympathetic nervous system. And it really is a true art in embodying and noticing imperfectly, by the way, because you're not aware 100% of the time, but getting to the place where you can track the sensations, feel what's coming through, noticing what part you're in, noticing what part of the nervous system you're in. Sounds complicated when I say it, doesn't it? But I hope take my intention was to take the woo-woo of what we hear about frequency, higher self, and it's like actually it's all in the nervous system. And we can use the parts work, we can use the nervous system work to become more aware and to notice our sensations in our nervous system and to notice what parts we're in. Okay. And so the other thing to point out, which I kind of already have, but there are vastly different physiological changes that happen depending on where we're at in our nervous system. So when we're in our parasympathetic nervous system, our most regulated selves, we are in the most optimal and one of the most healthy states we can be in, because our digestion is working good, our rhythms of our heart are working good. We tend to feel a lot more pleasurable and present. And then when we're in our fight or flight, that's it's not about not being in fight or flight or not being in freeze. It's more about can we regulate ourselves back into our window of tolerance rather than getting stuck. I was stuck in freeze for like 20 plus years of my life, which didn't even know it, right? And to feel myself come out of freeze, and also fawn, which is where you appease others, and put others first, essentially out of survival. And coming out of that and integrating it and finding my home away from home, which is now my parasympathetic nervous system, it takes time. It really takes time. So different, just to reiterate, different parts of us have a somatic parallel. And a great book, if you really want to nerd out on this, a woman who's combined all of these things, I actually forget her name. So, but it's called Somatic Internal Family Systems. I'll link the book in the description. So Somatic Internal Family Systems. It's a whole book that brings you way deeper into this. Exercises, client examples. I love it. I love books that do that because it's like you just get so much out of hearing someone else's story and how they're working through it bit by bit, you know? And this is very much of what I do when I work with my students and clients. You know, we start off with the mindfulness and getting grounded and accessing that higher self. And then from there, kind of them deciding which part or which state they want to work on, integrating more deeply, whether it's childhood trauma, other traumas, or feeling safe and expanding, you know, all these different things, you know, working through addictive patterns, all these things. So I hope this was helpful. I hope like showing these pictures and kind of bringing these two worlds together kind of is like takes the woo-woo and helps it feel more accessible. Like all the tools are within. And it's taken me many years, by the way, to feel like I semi know, I can sense what's happening. So, and it's an everyday practice. And even Dr. Richard Schwartz talks about this, that even though he is the creator of IFS, he practices this every single day. And you know, I would like to put out there, if none of this is like helpful, then that's totally okay. You know, you always got to follow what works best for you. So leave your questions and comments below. Would love to answer them. And you know, if you're interested in any of my courses, or we have a free Facebook group below, I have some courses below. And if you want to reach out to me and work together, all the links for that are below. So I hope you guys liked this, and thank you so much for stopping by. And I'll see you guys next time. Take care. Bye.